Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's wonderful to be back with everyone after our two-week vacation, and it was a very relaxing time, a very restful time, and it got me thinking about what the sermon was for today, Remember Covenants. So, I have a question for everyone here. Who here has ever made a promise in their life? Raise their hand. Okay, good. Everyone has raised their hand. Maybe not some of the little kids. That's okay. You will make promises eventually. Some of those promises, I mean, they can be small things. Like, I promise to take out the trash when I get home. I promise to clean the dishes after supper. I promise to cook supper. Okay, maybe not that one. I don't think you want me by a stove anytime soon. But promises are very important to people. They show a little bit of faith. You put faith into someone that they will do something. You give them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to keep that promise. At least you do that based upon this trust that you have for this person. And some promises can be small. Other ones can be absolutely life-changing. Well, I mean, for many of us, and for many of us here who are married, that was a big promise. Standing before God, our families, and everyone, we promised to be faithful to our spouses. And it changed the way we live. And for some of us who were maybe a bit younger, maybe those who were just a couple months ago when they came to confirmation, when you promised that you were actually able to stand before the people of God and say, I will follow them. Everyone who has been confirmed has made that declaration, that promise, and has changed how we live. This is a bit more, though, than a promise. That is a covenant. A covenant is a promise that changes the way you interact with the world. And we have many covenants in Scripture. We can see it even from the very beginning. God has made a lot of covenants with the people of this world. And it didn't take even long for that to happen. Right in the beginning of the world, God made a covenant. When Adam and Eve sinned, and seemingly the devil won, God made a covenant with Adam and Eve that a Savior would be born from Eve's womb, that would crush the head of the serpent, even as the serpent would bruise his heel. We heard an even another covenant today, one that is especially important, especially this morning with the thunder and the lightning that got my son up at about 7 o'clock in the morning, which is very good. God promised that he would never flood the earth again. He made a covenant with Noah and all of his family that he would never destroy the world in a flood again. And he even made a rainbow, a bow in the sky, to serve as a reminder of that covenant so that the people would look upon it and have faith and trust in God's promise. God made a covenant with the world and with the people, and he changed how he interacted with it. And he even did it before. We go to even a couple chapters later to Abraham. And God made another covenant with Abraham that his descendants would number in the multitudes of the stars and the grains of sand on the sea. And the promise of that one would be that Sarah, his wife, would conceive in old age. And change the way that God interacted with the world. For God came down and declared that Sarah was pregnant. And even after all of that, going farther into Egypt, and after his people were saved from slavery, they came to the Mount Sinai, and there God made another covenant with his people. He said that he will be their God, and they will be his people. And he gave them the Ten Commandments, rules and laws to govern them that will show the world whose they are. And God walked with them with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. God made a promise, and it changed how he interacted with his people. He even did that then for King David. When David said, I'll build you a house, O Lord, God said, no, I'll build you a house. And my covenant with you is through this house, I will build a Savior who will have an everlasting kingdom. And that covenant was made real in the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. Covenants are extremely powerful, and it is wonderful to know that God has remembered each and every one of them. It's a blessing. It's wonderful. And you think that anyone who has been raised with these, anyone who has heard these over time and time again, and even those who have maybe heard it the first time, may be amazed and astounded by all of this. But no. You only have to look through the Old Testament to see what has happened to God's people. They constantly forgot the covenants of God. They constantly forgot what He did for them. And God, though He still remembered His own covenants, took them to task. Remembered covenants are wonderful. God changed how He interacted with the world, with His people. But His people didn't change how they acted to the world. They didn't change how they acted towards God. They were rebellious and stiff-necked people. And I'd like to say that even those who knew Jesus were different. That those who knew Jesus, who walked with Him, were different, but they were not. Throughout the last couple of weeks in the Gospel of Mark, we've been hearing wonderful stories about what Jesus was doing in His ministry and what His disciples were doing. Jesus, the covenant of God made flesh, came into earth and was healing people. He was doing great things. He was being the Messiah. And He was sending out His disciples into the world. He gave His disciples great power. He gave the disciples the power to cure the sick, to drive out demons, and to preach the wonderful, blessed salvation of God. The promise that God's kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. The Messiah had come. And they came back to Jesus. They were filled with great awe. And they said, Lord, we have done these great things in Your name. You think they would understand that? You think they would get it? That they would remember the promises of God? But then last week we heard the story of the 5,000. The story of Jesus feeding 5,000 men besides women and children. And the disciples, in kind of getting off of this high of being with God and doing the work and seeing all these good things, they immediately see the 5,000 and plus people. They look towards getting evening and they say, how can we feed everyone? Hey Jesus, send them away so they can go get food. But Jesus said, okay, you guys get them something to eat. And they count their coins and they say, okay, we don't even have enough to feed every person here a crumb. And Jesus said, okay, bring it to me. And He made 5,000, He made loaves and fish for 5,000 plus people. And the disciples handed it out so they even had baskets full left over. And they saw, they marveled. And nothing else. The next time this happens is immediately after that. Our gospel lesson picks up immediately after this event. Jesus is going to a mountainside to pray. Mark is gearing up to go into his last part of his gospel. The part where Jesus is going to go down to Jerusalem and die. Jesus knows this. It's a stressful time and he's been putting a lot of work in. He's tired and he wants some time to rest. He sends his disciples across to the other side and he goes to a mountain top to pray. And while he's there praying, a storm comes on. And about 3 a.m. he sees that the disciples had made almost little to no headway on going across to the other side. So he comes and he walks to them on the water and passes them by. This is amazing. It almost harkens back to those remembered covenants. That Jesus has come, that God has come and has calmed the wind and the wave. He walks over the chaos of this world. He is with His people in everything that they do and they say. And even in the amount of trouble and even when they are scared, He is right there with them. His disciples see Jesus walking toward them and they cry out, it's a ghost! It's a ghost! What are we going to do? They were scared, terrified, that this was not the Lord of life, but the harbinger of death on the water.
They saw. They understood. They were raised with the same stories of God's remembered covenants. And they didn't believe. Jesus goes on and gets onto the boat and he says, "Why are you scared?" And Mark makes a very telling point. That they marveled, but they didn't understand. They didn't understand the feeding of the 5,000, and their hearts were hardened. You have to understand, when the word hardened comes to mind, it goes back to when Pharaoh's heart was hardened against God's people. That he would refuse to set them free. It goes back to the time when the prophets would go to the kings of Israel, and the kings of Israel's hearts were hardened so that they denied God and tried to kill the prophets. It goes back to when Jesus' enemies were coming toward him, trying to denounce him, trying to destroy him, trying to kill him. Mark is using the same language to describe the disciples. Their hearts were hardened. They did not believe. Maybe our hearts are hard today. But who here can remember the promises that they made so long ago to God? We've all made promises. Oh, I'll come to church more often. Oh, I will be a bit more faithful. I will go and give my time to help. I will give my time, or I will talk to my person or my neighbor about Jesus. I'll invite them to church, maybe next time. I'm not really feeling up to it. Maybe I'll go do another time. Or we know that, you know, God, I know that you promised that you're always with me. I think I want to do this on my own. I know that everything is under your control, but I think I want to go my own way. I want to try to fix this on my own. I don't need you right now, God. So I'm going to go and do my own thing. I'll come back when I'm ready. Maybe we don't destroy God. Maybe we don't blaspheme against him. Maybe we don't even deny him like Peter will do. But there are many times we forget the covenants of God. When we forget that he is always with us. And when we forget to follow in his ways. This, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is a tragedy. For God loved the world that he remembered each and every covenant. How are we then to feel? A God who created the entire world, a God who can walk on water, and a God who can destroy the very nations that go against his people. He is a God who remembers his covenants. And what who breaks them? What do we do? But God is with us. God knows that his covenants could not be kept by humankind. When we have to look through the Old Testament, look at the very beginning. God said, made a covenant, do not eat of this tree, and Adam and Eve ate. So what was to be done? What is to be done with a people who cannot remember a covenant? What is to be done with a world that when they see the great glories of God, they would rather harden their hearts and turn away from them? What is to be done with us who have received every good thing from God and still want to trust in our own power, to trust in our own way, and to put God aside until it's convenient for us? But we are to do what God knew all of that, and he gave an answer. He gave his answer in Jesus. He gave his answer in the remembered covenant and made it enfleshed in Christ. Christ kept every single covenant made by God. He kept the covenant from when, right in the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned. He kept the covenant that he wouldn't destroy the world when he came down into it. Remember the covenant that he would be their God. And they will be his people. He remembered the covenant and it was made true. And you remember the covenant that he made, that God made with his people. That for one man, the sins of the world will be sacrificed. One man will save his people from their sins. Jesus kept this covenant. Even when his disciples all betrayed him, even when his own people brought him up, he still loved them. He still remembered the covenant promise that he will be their God and they will be his people. And no better friend is this than one who lays down his life for his friends, for his people. And God remembered that covenant. Christ remembered that covenant and shed his blood on the cross for us. For those who do not remember, for those who refuse to remember, for those who might not even know, Christ came, kept all covenants, and paid the price. And for the wonderful thing that Christ has done, he has risen from the dead, made approval by this. He ascended into heaven, and a great and glorious celebration was in heaven for this. That he was the Lamb who was slain, and because he was slain, he is made to be ruler over all the world, to be with his people from every age and every generation. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God remembers us. He remembers every promise that he made to us. And even in our sinful condition, even when we can't keep those covenants, he still is faithful to us. Because he sees us. He sees us the same as Jesus did when he went across the sea. He saw the people gathered around, people who might have believed in him, people who may have not believed him, but maybe saw this wonderful man. Maybe they saw and believed, but they didn't know what was going on. But Christ Jesus saw these people on the other side of the shore and loved them. And he healed them. My brothers and sisters in Christ, he does that for us today. He remembers each and every promise that he has given to us and makes them real by his sacrifice, by his reassuring us of his promises, by giving us his body and blood to eat and to drink. That piece of physical remembrance that makes it so that we remember Christ is with us to the very end of the age, and our sins are forgiven. He gives it to us in the covenant of his holy baptism. We are washed from our sins in a physical, real way. And our lives have changed. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is hard to remember all the promises that we have made to God, all the promises that we have broken. I've broken them, you've broken them, we've all broken them. But God has never broken his promise to us. That he loves us, that he forgives us, that he is with us to the very end of the age. Let us hold on to this promise. Let us go forth in power and in joy and share this promise. Let us go out and live as redeemed children of God. Let us go out with not hearts that are hardened, but are full of life and joy. So that we may proclaim the wonderful majesty of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. For God has given his promise to the whole world that he will come again. And at this coming, all knees will bow and confess Christ as Lord. And until this time has come, he has given each and every one of us a duty to share in the great news of his love, the great news of his salvation. And just as Paul prayed that the Lord would strengthen and preserve the people of Ephesus, I pray the same for you. And pray the same for all Christians, that our strength might be renewed each day, that our spirit might be made glad in the good news of God, and may be kept in that covenant promise until life comes everlasting. And until that time comes, we pray, consume, Lord Jesus. Amen.